RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Apparently, he got a lot of grief last night for shoehorning in a Muhammad Ali reference.
In a year that we lost the champ, Muhammad Ali, I have to say, down goes Frazier.
Do you think he rehearsed that? Oh, if Todd Frazier doesn't lose, I'm screwed. I have nothing clever to say.
Yet another shining example of why Chris Berman is the worst of us. Joe Paterno, as most of you know, is dead. But news is coming out. A newly unsealed report found several instances where the Sandusky sexual abuse were either witnessed by other coaches or reported to university officials, including an allegation that one victim made the report directly to head coach Joe Paterno.
If you don't acknowledge something like that when it comes to children, you're just as culpable.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler today or for the next 2 weeks. Barry Laminek in. I am A.J. Hoffman. I'm usually here. John is on the ones and twos, spinning the hits, doing the live reads. A lot of people giving you grief, John. You struggled on that read, they said.
Yeah, it was the first time looking at it, actually.
Someone said you Mayweathered that read.
Yeah, I did.
Someone said, damn, can John even read?
That's all
it
right,
was
John.
Brutal.
You'll get better.
The texts were brutal. They were not nice.
No, I'm sure
that's
they
all right. They're hating on me too. But, so
you know,
they said AJ would put my cat down for $50. That pooping in the shower is waffle stomping.
Okay, me shooting the cat for $50 goes back to a story that I told Steve Bunin, and he was appalled by that when I was in high school. My neighbor had a dog that was just mean.
Mm-hmm.
It bit everybody in the neighborhood, myself included. And eventually it bit the guy's wife and like bit her pretty bad. And he was like, I gotta put this dog down. And he said, I can't do it myself.
Well, he wasn't man enough or he was scared of the dog or?
I think it was his dog.
Oh, so you couldn't, could you put your own dog down? Could you?
No.
Even if they were wild and crazy and biting everybody?
No.
Yeah, okay.
I'd have to trap him in a cage and take him to the vet and let the All vet right. get rabies or something, but I couldn't do it.
Okay.
Or I'd just take him out to the wild and let him go, I guess. I don't know what I would do, but like if he was a zombie dog or
yeah.
whatever, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't shoot my own dog.
White Walker dog.
But at the time, I was 16 years old, and dude, $50.
Needed the money.
When you're 16, $50 is a lot, man. That was like a whole shift of me working at Baskin Robbins, maybe even more. So
buy a lot of Lambrini.
You could buy so much Lambrini on that.
Lots of boons.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I let that guy gave me his gun.
Nope.
And
no hesitation, no fear.
Let that dog get. I basically got as close as I could get to that dog where his leash was at its end.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the dog down.
Wow. One shot?
One shot. Oh, you had a 45. One shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you would have had to miss.
Yeah. I didn't miss. I basically got to where.
Did he watch?
No.
Did they leave? Did everyone leave the house and vacate the premise? Or
no. I don't think so. I think he just went inside. And then I wasn't involved with any of the cleanup or anything.
Oh, well, that's a good deal.
Yeah. That you wasn't just, my responsibility. Just
shot him and
I was just a trigger man.
Yeah. You're like Hitman. You kind of, that's what, yeah. Is that why you started shaving your head bald? You go Hitman
exactly
style?
Why.
I figured.
You knew.
I know. You wear a paw around your neck.
That's
like a dog's
that's paw. Exactly what I do.
Yeah.
A dog tooth it. Necklace.
Yeah.
A dog ear necklace.
I get
like
it.
Like I went to Vietnam with
I
a bunch
get
of
it.
Dogs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was, Steve Bunin was like repulsed at
was
that
he?
Story. Oh, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
You did his family a favor.
I kind of felt that way, too.
You're a hero.
I wouldn't have gone that far.
Well, to his family, you are.
But I didn't feel that awful about it. So,
I don't know why you would be repulsed by that story. I mean, even if you're an animal lover, the animal is attacking people.
That's kind of what I said. I mean, once it bites your wife, what are you going
to
do?
Plus, you get to shoot something and make $50.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad deal.
just this is a of note, Jong. Oh, he's on the phone.
Oh,
Jong is probably at some point going to be looking for a Bulbasaur or a Pikachu.
A what? A Bulbasaur?
Yep.
That sounds like something you get.
I know.
When you pay.
Arlington National Cemetery has just tweeted out, "We do not consider playing Pokemon Go to be an appropriate decorum on the grounds of the cemetery. We ask all visitors to refrain from such activity."
What dumbass is out there playing that?
I will punch you in the head if I ever see that.
That is horrible.
But my wife did say last night, supposedly there's a lot of Pokemon in cemeteries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you can't go to veteran cemeteries, only regular dead people cemeteries.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
This game gets weirder and weirder and dumber. I don't get it.
I don't quite understand it either. And even after last night when these guys were, like, when they were, you know, I was driving them around and they were catching these Pokemon, I still don't quite understand it. They were, like, saying some have certain points and they got really excited about one that had...
Oh, the kids?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Got really excited about one who has a lot of points, apparently.
Ooh.
So, but I still don't really understand. I don't know what the points do. I don't know.
It don't get you women. I know that. It's not like you get tickets playing skee ball, and then you're like, let me get a blonde. Yeah, that's not happening.
Squandle says, Dog the Bounty Hunter is looking for me.
Yeah. I get it.
And
somebody said Steve Buhnen is a Pikachu. Robert said that. I don't know what that means. But just got a text from Robert that says Steve Buhnen is a Pikachu.
Well, Angel says Steve is appalled because he has a vagina.
Oh, man.
I don't believe that to be true.
There's that Blitzer hate I've been waiting to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm getting a few hate texts over here, too. I'm just not reading them.
Are you enjoying being on the texts?
I'm enjoying, some of them are pretty funny. So I got to admit, some of the texters are funny. Some of them are poor. Like the one that said if he was going to have to endure the whole show. And he meant endure, but he spelled it indoor. I-N-D-O-O-R. So while I think some of your listeners are amusing, not the brightest group of folks I've had the pleasure of reading texts from.
Well, we have noticed that's a Fred fan.
It has to have been a Fred fan.
He doesn't want to endure any more time with me.
Yeah.
I promised you National Football League talk, and I deliver on my promises. ProFootballFocus.com ranked all 32 offensive lines going into the 2016 season. And I'll give you some of the highlights before we discuss your Houston Texans. First of all, you might be surprised to know that the projected worst offensive line in the NFL belongs to one of the teams with the highest expectations, the Seattle Seahawks.
Really?
Yep. All five Seattle offensive linemen are projected to start at a different position than they played last season. And obviously, they lost Russell Okung, so it's gonna be a lot different looking bunch, but they are projected to be the worst. The Rams, 31, Bears, 30, Chargers, 29. Another team projected to be very good again, the Denver Broncos, who actually picked up Russell Okung from the Seahawks. but they are number 28. Bad teams, Bucks, Niners, Titans, Jets, Jags, Lions, 22, Browns, 21, Giants, 20, Dolphins, Patriots at 18.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs at 17, Colts at 16, which is surprising to me. But they look to be improving, but I don't know if I'm going that high yet. Vikings 15, Steelers 14, Ravens 13. This is also an obnoxious thing that this article did. For every team, they put Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens.
Like number you don't know.
Number 12, they just put Washington. Take a stand, Pro Football Focus.
Lord.
Take a stand, won't you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the Washington Redskins, which they are still called at number 12. Your Houston Texans, number 11.
What?
And Fred is slightly more optimistic on the Texans than I am. And when I tell him why I don't love the Texans, it's almost everything is having to do with either questions about what Brock Osweiler is.
Right.
Or questions about the offensive line, which I think is going to be a struggle bus this season. Dwayne Brown, Xavier Suofilo, Nick Martin, Jeff Allen, Derek Newton, your projected starting five. They lost their best interior lineman. Brandon Brooks was the best interior lineman they had. Their depth, Tony Bergstrom, Chris Clark, I just don't feel like, and not to mention, I think maybe the most important thing is no one knows how healthy Dwayne Brown's going to be.
That's the problem.
Dwayne Brown had a serious injury. While there's a lot of people who they say he's expected to be back, I don't know if he's going to be back.
Expected isn't always a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, Dwayne Brown, his best years were 2011, 2012, and now he just had a really nasty injury at the end of last year. Xavier Suofilo, while he was a high draft pick, has literally done nothing of note in the NFL. The number 11 ranked offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus.
I don't think so.
I respectfully disagree. I like Nick Martin. I think they made a good pick with him. I like Jeff Allen. I think Jeff Allen's a good player. I think that this line had some issues last year. I think losing Brandon Brooks, they're going to have some more issues. I just think that they're going to struggle a bit. Top 10, Bills, Cardinals, Saints at 8, Eagles 7, Panthers 6, Falcons 5, Bengals 4, Packers 3, Oakland Raiders number 2.
Interesting.
Usually you won't find the Raiders ranked that high.
No.
But they had the second best pass blocking efficiency rating in the league last year. And the number 1 offensive line, not a surprise to anyone, is basically an all NFL offensive line.
Uh-huh.
The Dallas Cowboys, Vaquero de Dallas. Tyron Smith, Leo Collins, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Doug Free.
Pretty good.
Pretty good squad.
Pretty good.
Ronald Leary as a backup, one of the better backup linemen in the league as well. So that's a very strong offensive line, and I agree with them. They are the strongest in the NFL going into the season. Texans, though.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Texans, just like last year, their run blocking was they were better at pass blocking than run blocking, and though they've got a better running back, I think that they're still going to struggle. And the unknown is how are they going to be able to protect Osweiler, and what do they expect from him? Right? I mean, is this just hopefully they're a run first oriented team until they figure out what they have with him, but. If running was your Achilles heel on the offensive line last year, and you're planning on being a run first team, it may not be as good as you're wanting, Texans fan.
Duncan says the Pokemon go by skill level. The higher they are, the harder they are to defeat. You have to fight them.
Yeah, you throw balls at them.
I know, but once you capture them, are they part of your team now?
Yes.
Then you have battles with them. Once you own them,
there's gyms around the city.
Okay.
So you go to an area, and you click the gym, and then you battle.
GYM gyms, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens if you win the battle?
Then you own that gym.
It's yours forever?
No, until somebody beats you.
What if I'm not around to battle at that gym?
No, you leave one of your Pokemon at the gym, and then whoever comes nearby tries to beat your Pokemon, and if they do, then they own the gym.
Do they in turn get to keep my Pokemon?
No.
Okay, so they just gives it back to me, and he has to come back shamed and defeated that he lost that
exactly,
gym for me.
Exactly.
Gotcha. And you lose the gym.
Okay.
Someone,
Someone
offered me to eat a rooster on the text.
Did he offer his rooster?
No, just asked me if I would kindly go eat a rooster, and then said, "How's that for you?" So there you go. That's that Blitz love.
This guy on Twitter, the_Raheel.
Never heard of him.
Says this guy blows.
Yeah, I never heard of him. He must be talking about AJ, though.
That's funny.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Step back out of my way. headfirst into the maze. I won't be broken. Never stop or hesitate.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and Barry Laminack wrapping up day two of Barry's stay. Tomorrow you will have Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist, who, by the way, Jerome Solomon was filling in on a different station this week. John, did you know that?
Did you know that?
I didn't know it was this week. I know he's done it before.
Or maybe it was last week.
No, it was...
yesterday?
It was yesterday or... it was either yesterday or Friday.
Yeah.
I think it was
it 790?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't say their name?
It's okay.
Don't whisper their name.
790. What if I did this? Adam Clanton.
No! Don't! He might appear if you say it three times. Like Beetlejuice. No, I've never met Adam. I hear he's a nice guy. Sure he is.
I thought you might be interested in the UFC 200 payout numbers.
Okay.
That information was released it was released after the Nevada State Athletic Commission made sure everything was on the up and up. There might be some numbers that surprise you.
Okay.
First of all, what's your guess on who made the most money on that card?
Brock Lesnar.
You'd be correct.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar.
I would invite myself to leave if I missed that.
Brock Lesnar, win or lose, got $2.5 million for that fight.
Yeah.
So there was no win bonus.
That's wrestling money.
No win bonus. He was going to get $2.5 million if Mark Hunt knocked him out.
Would you have signed that deal?
Bro. Mark Hunt was the second highest paid fighter on that card.
Okay.
Made $700,000.
Oh, that's a good payday for him.
Not bad. Would have been $1.4 million had he won.
I wonder, he's not getting that every fight.
No.
Obviously not.
No.
I wonder what it was that made them decide to give him so much money this time around. Was it just to equal out kind of what Brock was getting?
Well, I think they knew that it was going to be a huge pay-per-view draw, and I'm sure there weren't.
Well, there were other names that you could have probably given that to besides Hunt.
They were,
although Hunt's kind of a draw, right?
Hunt's,
like, I mean,
Hunt's a draw.
People want to watch him knock people out. I paid to watch
Brock Hunt.
Well, no, to watch Mark Hunt knock out Brock Lesnar. So I guess that $700K was
now. Keep in mind, there's some of these guys. Lesnar is one of the guys. I'm sure Hunt is one of the guys. I'm sure Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva are. Some of these guys got money. They're going to get money on the back end.
Sure.
Cain Velasquez, I'm sure, is one of those guys. Lesnar, $2.5 million. Mark Hunt, $700,000. The next biggest payday belonged to Jose Aldo, who made $500,000.
Okay.
$100,000 of that was a win bonus. Daniel Cormier made $500,000. Did not have a win bonus.
No.
Nope. So that's for 500 flat.
I guess that's a new thing they're doing now.
Well, for these big
bigger name guys. Yeah, they're just like, you're going to get a flat fee.
Oh, I missed one. Anderson Silva made $600,000.
You know, I was about to say, I'm surprised that Silva wasn't one of the top paid names, and even though it was last minute.
I don't know.
But,
I'm sure
he made more than Aldo and
Cormier.
Okay.
Misha Tate also scored $500,000 for that fight.
Wow.
And a losing effort.
That is really surprising.
So the top three fights on the card, the losing fighters made $500,000, $600,000, and $700,000 respectively. Frankie Edgar made $190,000 to lose to Jose Aldo. Cain Velasquez made $300,000, no win bonus. Okay. Travis Brown made $120,000. Kelvin Gastelum made $86,000, which included a $33,000 win bonus and $20,000 of Johnny Hendricks' purse, because Johnny Hendricks missed weight by a quarter pound.
Yep.
Johnny Hendricks made $80,000. Would have been $100,000, but he lost 20%. TJ Dillashaw, former champion, what do you think he made?
I don't know. I would. I mean, with these kind of numbers, I would say $75K?
$50,000, including a $25,000 win bonus.
Okay.
It seems low to me.
Yeah.
And I'll just go ahead and get to the number that I find the most shocking on here. Sage Northcutt made $100,000 for that fight, including a $50,000 win bonus. So Sage Northcutt's show money was more than TJ Dillashaw's show and win money.
That doesn't seem right. That I don't understand how that can be. I mean, wow. I guess the rumors are true. He really is one of Papa Bear's.
Oh, he's a favorite.
Yeah.
He's a favorite.
He has to be. If they even agreed to give him that much money.
It's pretty his opponent made the least amount of money on the card. Enrique Marin made $13,000 to fight Sage.
Wow. And Sage got six figures.
Six figures, yep.
Was he on the Fight Pass portion or was
no,
he
was
the
on
FX one? Okay.
Or Fox Sports one, yeah.
Okay. So that's a little better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping nobody's making $100K on the Fight Pass.
Ooh, well, Joe Lozon made $108,000.
What?
Joe Lozon's fought for so long.
Yeah, Joe Lozon.
And that's $54,000 if it's a win bonus.
He was a regular of the night winner, right? Fight of the night, submission of the night, knockout of the night kind of guy.
So his pay is $54,000 to win.
Okay.
He won, so he made $108,000.
Okay.
Diego Sanchez made $80,000. That's another guy who's been around forever.
Man, these salaries have gone up so much since I really cared about looking at salaries.
Gegard Mousasi made $110,000, which included a $35,000 win bonus. Thiago Santos, his opponent, made $28K.
Wow.
Jim Miller made $118,000. He was the very first fight on Fight Pass. $59,000 was a win bonus. He beat Takanori Gomi, who made $55,000.
You know what, though? So here's the thing. I think it's good that they're making this kind of money, even being on Fight Pass, because they lost a lot of opportunity with the Reebok deal make money. So at least these guys...
Well, but then there's guys who also make... Reebok money. Like Sage Northcutt has his own deal with Reebok.
Oh, he's got a separate deal outside of the UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, because I know they all get a certain amount of money based on the years that they've been in the UFC or WEC or whatever.
Unless
you have a one-off deal that you sign with them. And they're not signing those with everybody.
No.
Okay. And then they get money off the kits that they sell.
Yep.
Which I'm guessing is none. Little to none.
Little to none.
Yeah. So that's good. I mean, I'm surprised at these numbers, but I think that's good in retrospect when you consider that some of these guys could go out. Somebody like a Sage Northcutt, as popular as he is, or somebody like, you know, Anderson Silva, they're making a lot of money with the stuff that goes on their shorts and their shirts and everything else. So I guess the UFC kind of had to supplement that income in order to do the Reebok deal. So that's good to see. 100K for Fight Pass.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it's still kind of... I mean, it's...
But Sage Northcutt, $100K for not doing anything. I mean, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
He tapped to a sickness.
Well...
And...
what's really crazy is...
Done some flips on a...
When you think about 2.5...
video.
Brock Lesnar made $2.5 million.
Uh-huh.
Floyd Mayweather made $220 million from the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah. That was a text we got earlier. Do we think that a UFC fighter will ever make Floyd Mayweather money?
Never.
No.
Never.
No, the UFC barely, as a company, barely makes Mayweather money in a year. I just said earlier in the show that I think they 600 million?
That's their profits.
Yeah. No, well, that's what they're making.
Yeah.
That's what they net.
That's their profits in a year.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there's no way any UFC fighters are approaching Mayweather money right now.
Yep. All right, we'll be back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
All right, 6:34 on the Blitz. Barry Laminack filling the turtleneck of Fred Fowler. yesterday and today. How have you felt about this so far, Barry?
It's been fun. I've had a good time, man.
Okay.
Always fun hanging out, doing the show with you or Fred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's more fun? What are you trying to say?
Obviously talk a little more sports with Fred. Although the last show that I did with Fred, we didn't talk a lot of sports. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the culprit. I mean, we talk sports, but I think we ended up talking about some silly stuff as well. So, but no, it's been good. It's been fun. Okay. You're my boy though. So obviously, getting to do a show with you is more fun for me. Just because the way we are on air, people don't realize the way we are on air is exactly the same way we are off air with each other. Like it's just this the whole time. Like you would want to come hang out with us at a bar, right?
I would.
No, people listening.
Oh.
And we'd have fun.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't want to. AJ wouldn't want to hang out with anyone.
No.
But like, if we were at a bar and you could hang out with us, we'd be fun. We have a good time, you and I.
That's true. We do have a good time.
We're getting questions. Can I ask you some questions from the texters?
Okay.
All right. One texter wants to know, how do they decide payouts for the UFC?
Everybody negotiates their own contracts. That's basically, right. There's no unions, so everybody gets.
That was another question. Do these guys have a union?
No, nope. Everybody signs their own deals and that they work it out with the bosses.
How much did Derek Lewis make? Somebody wants to know.
Derek Lewis made $66,000, according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission reports. $33,000 to win, $33,000 to show.
Somebody wants to know, you being an amateur MMA fighter, which is not entirely accurate anymore.
Still accurate as of today.
Well, yeah. You haven't made the big announcement yet?
I mean, I announced it on Facebook and Twitter. I didn't talk about it on the show.
Why not?
I don't think they really care.
Well, yeah, they do. I'm putting you on the spot. What's the announcement?
There's not really an announcement.
Yeah, say it.
I'm going to fight again.
Yeah!
In September for Legacy.
As
a professional mixed martial artist.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm coming to this one. I missed the last one.
Are you sure? You're gonna have a comedy show in
Paris, Texas?
Mexican Hat, Texas, or wherever you're.
No, I'm coming. I already put it on my calendar so that I can't get booked for a show that night.
Okay.
Because I haven't been. I'm definitely coming.
But have you been to any of my fights?
Yeah, I went to the first
two.
I announced the first one.
Okay.
And I was at the second one. But somebody wants to know, being an MMA fighter yourself, how do you feel about a fake wrestler who was the big draw for UFC 200?
I don't have a problem with it. He got the big payday because he was the big draw. Brock Lesnar, listen, I don't have a problem with guys like Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar puts eyes on a sport that I care about more than any regular MMA guy can do. So Brock Lesnar is nothing but a positive for the UFC.
I would strongly disagree. I don't like this blending of a sport and this fake wrestling. I don't like the blending of it.
Well, here's the other thing. I think you're going to see when CM Punk fights, and he's booked, I believe, for UFC 202.
He's going to get his ass whooped.
He is going to not be good at this sport.
No.
And that's the difference between him and Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is a very high-level fighter. Like, he does fake wrestling, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, that's a bad man. That is a bad man. And he just took Mark Hunt and basically punked him out.
Yeah.
In like 10-8 rounds on that dude. That's there's no denying that the guy, he can fight. Now, what he does to make money outside the UFC...
I think I said this before. I don't know if I said it on one with Fred or a while back, but two things that bother me. One thing that bothered me about this UFC 200 with Brock Lesnar.
His haircut.
No.
He's Canadian.
No, he's American, first of all.
Well, I guess he's fighting out of Canada.
He's pretending to be Canadian.
Yeah. What bothered me the most is that they started running WWE commercials. And at one point on one of the WWE commercials, they said, an opponent has been chosen for Brock Lesnar's next fight. It's not a fight if you know what.
Right. I get
WWE
that.
WWE has to stop calling these fights. They're not fights.
But WWE can call them whatever they want.
They also keep records. Why are you keeping records of fake fighting?
Do they do that?
Yeah, they keep records for wrestlers.
No.
It's like keeping track of how many fake orgasms you've given your wife.
I don't believe
it. It doesn't count.
They don't keep their records.
Yeah, they do. They do keep
records. What's Brock Lesnar's record?
I would have to look it up. I don't know offhand. I will look it up. I'll have that for the next segment.
The reason they ran a commercial during the UFC 200 for the WWE,
well, of course, because cross promotion, because they let him out of his contract. Deal, yeah, but I don't like the blending of that, because now you've got these idiots that can't tell the difference between what the UFC is as a sport.
I can't imagine someone and these that WWE. Dumb.
Oh, there are, because someone sent me, I won't say his name, Michael Day-Day. He sent me a video. And he said, look at this. This is better than any fight I've seen in the last 4 years. And it was two dudes basically just doing gymnastics with each other in the squared circle, in the wrestling ring. And it was basically just, it wasn't a fight. I get it.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not athletic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not athletic, and I'm not saying they're not in shape. It's not a fight. Can we just drop that? It'd be good if we could just not call these fights.
All right.
Someone wants to know who makes the most money at 97.5 on air talent-wise. And please don't say it's Salisbury. That was a dick.
I don't know for sure.
No one shares salaries here.
Yeah,
so.
No one discusses it, and there's not a website you can go to no. find it out. My guess is it's either Salisbury or Granado.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm going to say you.
It's not me.
Actually, I'm going to say Granado and then you.
I'm almost certain it's not me.
Okay. Somebody said, don't get comfortable, you rooster muncher berry. So.
Okay.
Fill in the love. What's the most money AJ has made? He's, as a professional fighter, he's going to make money. You haven't made money yet. You're an amateur.
I haven't made money off sponsorships.
No. You can't say that.
Okay.
You can't say that. TDLR might be listening.
Yeah, whatever.
You're not allowed to make money as an amateur. That's why you're an amateur.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Jesus.
Never made any money from fighting. Do it for the love of the game.
Everyone's saying now congratulations on the fight. When does No More Beer and Pizza start? It already started, right?
It's already started.
So you've already started your camp?
No, not really. No? It's like 9 weeks out. It's not till the middle of September. So okay. Basically, I've stopped pizza and burgers and
so you
fried
won't, you
foods.
Won't, so if I bring you Arby sliders next Monday when I'm on
I
the show
eat
again.
Eat Arby sliders. No.
Even if you weren't?
The good news is this fight.
I'm telling you, they're good.
I don't think
good.
I would even if I wasn't in a
they're
fight.
They're good.
I used to work at Arby's, dude.
I'm telling you, these are legit.
I'm telling you.
Trust the fat guy.
I used to work
when
at Arby's.
When a fat guy tells you food is good.
When listen, someone who worked at a restaurant tells you don't eat that food.
I know. I worked at Wendy's. Trust me. I get it.
Will you eat the chili at Wendy's?
Oh, yeah. It's good chili. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Wendy's is going to try to buy your cats when they die. They'll be like, this is Wendy's. I mean, the cat disposal company. We heard you had a cat death. Would you like us to take care of that? Bury it?
Wendy's cat disposal company.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, 6:48, last segment of the show. And Barry says that he has the database for the highest win percentage
yeah.
in pro wrestling.
Yes, they have a internet wrestling, which it should be wrestling.
Okay.
Internet wrestling database. Because when you say wrestling, I think of like legit wrestling.
Okay.
College wrestling, Olympic wrestling. Not wrestling.
Okay.
But yeah, there is a database, and they keep track of winning percentage and total matches, and then I guess it's up to you to figure out, based off the percentage and the number of matches, what their record is. So you asked what Brock Lesnar's record was.
Right.
He has been in a total of 180 matches. He has won 71.67% of those, which gives him a record of 129-51.
You think that's legit, Jung? You think Brock Lesnar's only been in 180 wrestling matches?
Seems right.
That seems low to me.
I'm just telling you what the internet wrestling database okay. is
All
saying.
Right. Maybe
this
I'm
is like
wrong.
The Google
okay.
for fake fighting. This is the so that he's has a 71.67 winning percentage. Would you care to take
is that
a gamble?
Like is that one of the highest of all time?
It is not. It is not. In fact, he is just slightly ahead of the Junkyard Dog.
Really?
Who was at 71.5.
6. I'm rounding up. 71.56.
The list that you have.
Yes.
Does it only count WWF, WWE?
No.
Like, because I don't care what somebody did in some jabroni wrestling promotion. That doesn't even count.
No, it has everyone. This is it has quite a few wrestlers.
Okay, well that's dumb. First,
it says this list is limited to those wrestlers with over 50 matches included in the database.
Oh my God, the highest winning percentage.
Don't say it.
Okay,
I want him to guess who it is.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this conversation is ridiculous. No, but this is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, of course it's ridiculous, John. So is Pokemon Go, but you don't see
No.
What?
Pokemon Go is more of a sport than... Never mind.
Don't you even... Who, AJ, who do you think has the highest winning percentage in fake fighting history?
Okay. Before we start this conversation, I want you to know my pro wrestling knowledge is limited to...
He's never going to get this.
WCW and WWF / WWE.
Okay, he was in there.
Okay.
This wrestler was in there. And then I'm going to give you a guess at number 3, and I will tell you that he has real fighting experience.
Okay.
I think you could guess who that might be.
I probably can.
Okay. So who's number 1? At 88.1579%.
So I've been racking my brain about this, and I've got 4 names.
Okay. Throw them out.
Goldberg?
Nope.
Andre the Giant?
Nope.
The Ultimate Warrior?
Yes.
Number 1?
Number 1.
Okay.
All-time the best assist.
Hulk Hogan was my other one.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan won every match when I was a kid.
I know, whether he won or
until
lost.
Until the Ultimate Warrior beat him.
Hulk Hogan, 63% winning percentage.
See, that seems low to me. I can't believe that's
419 matches. 63 winning percentage.
Okay.
You know who beat him just ahead of him? Max Smashmaster.
That's a fake wrestler.
Yeah, it's a fake fighter.
Yeah, he's a fake wrestler.
That's 63.1%. Just edging out the Hulkster.
Who had a better winning percentage? Hulk Hogan or the Iron Sheik?
Ooh. Let me see here.
Because the Iron Sheik says that Hulk Hogan is...
Iron Sheik isn't in the database.
Oh, really? Well, this is a fake database then.
What? Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, see, this is all BS.
I'm doing a page search for the Iron Sheik, Junkyard Dog, because I just did the Undertaker, Andre the Giant, the Tonga Kid, the Great...
I would bet Curry. The Undertaker has a high...
The Warlord? No.
High percentage too, right?
67.67%.
That's pretty good.
How is the Iron Sheik not in here? Abdullah the Butcher's here?
What's Andre the Giant?
The Great Kabuki's in here?
That's racist to even say that.
What? What?
What was Andre the Giant's percentage?
Andre the Giant was 66.49, so basically 66.5%.
You're telling me Andre the Giant only won 2 out of every 3 matches?
That's it. He had 191 matches.
I just can't believe that to be true. This,
you know who had a better winning percentage than Andre the Giant? Coco Beware.
No way.
66.8. Better than Coco Beware? The Honky Tonk Man. I hated the Honky Tonk Man.
The Honky Tonk Man?
I hated him so much.
Has a better percentage
than
Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant.
Who is unquestionably the best wrestler of all time.
Andre the Giant didn't have a guitar, okay?
No.
He didn't have the luxury...
No,
of a guitar,
he never smashed
and a
anyone
sweet
with
ass jumpsuit.
No,
he just had his little Speedo and his big meat hook hands, whatever those were.
What all about right.
who's the top wrestler who's also a real fighter?
That
he's third on this list.
Josh Barnett.
Yes,
Josh Barnett,
83.78% winning.
Never fought in not that I know of, in WWF or WCW. But he fights in Japan or wrestles in Japan all the time. And I know he's a big star.
Yeah,
there.
Oh, he's a huge star over there. Japan fake fighting.
But what is the percentage for Virgil?
Virgil is not on the list.
He's not listed?
Not listed. Oh, did he go by another name, maybe?
No, I think he's just Virgil.
The Latin Lover is 66.67% for
that's
what
the
it's
same
worth.
As Andre the Giant. That's BS.
The worst The worst one on here is Debo at 58.49%.
All right, we got to go. Thanks, Barry, for sitting in.
Yeah, man, I had fun.
We'll
be
back tomorrow. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 975.